we bring you the Living Book Broadcast, the old, old message in modern language. We begin our reading with Job chapter 39, verse 1. The Lord continued to answer Job from the whirlwind. Do you know how mountain goats give birth? Have you ever seen them giving birth to their young? Do you know how many months of pregnancy they have before they bow themselves to give birth to their young and carry their burden no longer? Their young grow up in the open field, then leave their parents and return to them no more. Who makes the wild donkeys wild? I have placed them in the wilderness and given them salt plains to live in, for they hate the noise of the city and want no drivers shouting at them. The mountain ranges are their pasture land. There they search for every blade of grass. Will the wild ox be your happy servant? Will he stay beside your feeding crib? Can you use a wild ox to plow with? Will he pull the harrow for you? Because he is so strong, will you trust him? Will you let him decide where to work? Can you send him out to bring in the grain from the threshing floor? The ostrich flaps her wings grandly, but has no true motherly love. She lays her eggs on top of the earth to warm them in the dust. She forgets that someone may step on them and crush them, or the wild animals destroy them. She ignores her young as though they weren't her own, and is unconcerned though they die. For God has deprived her of wisdom. But whenever she jumps up to run, she passes the swiftest horse with its rider. Have you given the horse strength, or clothed his neck with a quivering mane? Have you made him able to leap forward like a locust? His majestic snorting is something to hear. He paws the earth and rejoices in his strength. And when he goes to war, he is unafraid and does not run away, though the arrows rattle against him or the flashing spear and javelin. Fiercely he paws the ground and rushes forward into battle when the trumpet blows. At the sound of the bugle, he shouts, "Ha-ha!" He smells the battle when far away. He rejoices at the shouts of the battle and the roar of the captain's commands. Do you know how a hawk soars and spreads her wings to the south? Is it at your command that the eagle rises high above the cliffs to make her nest? She lives upon the cliffs, making her home in her mountain fortress. From there she spies her prey from a very great distance. Her nestlings gulp down blood, for she goes wherever the slain are. The Lord went on, "Do you still want to argue with the Almighty, or will you yield? Do you, God's critic, have the answers?" Then Job replied to God, "I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I lay my hand upon my mouth in silence. I have said too much already." Then the Lord spoke to Job again from the whirlwind. "Stand up like a man and brace yourself for battle. Let me ask you a question and give me the answer. Are you going to discredit my justice and condemn me so that you can say you are right? Are you as strong as God and can you shout as loudly as he? All right then, put on your robes of state, your majesty and splendor. Give vent to your anger, Let it overflow against the proud. Humiliate the haughty with a glance, and tread down the wicked where they stand. Knock them into the dust, stone-faced in death. If you can do that, then I'll agree with you that your own strength can save you. Take a look at the behemoth. I made him too, just as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. See his powerful loins and the muscles of his belly. His tail is as straight as a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit together. His vertebrae lie straight as a tube of brass. His ribs are like iron bars. How ferocious he is among all God's creation. So let whoever hopes to master him bring a sharp sword. The mountains offer their best food to him, the other wild animals on which he preys. He lies down under the lotus plants, hidden by the reeds, covered by their shade among the willows there beside the stream. He is not disturbed by raging rivers, not even when the swelling Jordan rushes down upon him. No one can catch him off guard or put a ring in his nose and lead him away. Can you catch the Leviathan with a hook and line, or put a noose around his tongue? Can you tie him with a rope through the nose, or pierce his jaw with a spike? Will he beg you to desist, or try to flatter you from your intentions? Will he agree to let you make him your slave for life? Can you make a pet of him like a bird, or give him to your little girls to play with? Do fishing partners sell him to fishmongers? Will his hide be hurt by darts, or his head with a harpoon? If you lay your hands upon him, you will long remember the battle that ensues, and you will never try it again. No, it's useless to try to capture him. It is frightening even to think about it. No one dares to stir him up, let alone try to conquer him. And if no one can stand before him, who can stand before me? I owe no one anything. Everything under heaven is mine. I should mention, too, the tremendous strength in his limbs and throughout his enormous frame. Who can penetrate his hide, and who dares come within reach of his jaws, for his teeth are terrible? His overlapping scales are his pride, making a tight seal, so no air can get between them, and nothing can penetrate. When he sneezes, the sunlight sparkles like lightning across the vapor droplets. His eyes glow like sparks. Fire leaps from his mouth. Smoke flows from his nostrils like steam from a boiling pot that is fired by dry rushes. Yes, his breath would kindle coals. Flames leap from his mouth. The tremendous strength in his neck strikes terror wherever he goes. His flesh is hard and firm, not soft and fat. His heart is hard as rock, just like a millstone. When he stands up, the strongest are afraid. Terror grips them. No sword can stop him, nor spear, nor dart, nor pointed shaft. Iron is nothing but straw to him, and brass is rotten wood. Arrows cannot make him flee. Sling stones are as ineffective as straw. Clubs do no good, and he laughs at the javelins hurled at him. His belly is covered with scales as sharp as shards. He drags across the ground like a steamroller. He makes the water boil with his commotion. He churns the depths. He leaves a shining wake of frost behind him. One would think the sea was made of frost. There is nothing else so fearless anywhere on earth. Of all the beasts, he is the proudest, monarch of all he sees. Then Job replied to God, "I know that you can do anything, and that no one can stop you. You ask who it is who has so foolishly denied your providence? It is I. I was talking about things I knew nothing about and did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. You said, 'Listen and I will speak. Let me put the question to you, see if you can answer them.' But now I say, 'I had heard about you before. But now I have seen you, and I loathe myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" After the Lord had finished speaking with Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "I am angry with you and with your two friends, for you have not been right in what you have said about me, as my servant Job was. Now take 7 young bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf, and won't destroy you, as I should because of your sin, your failure to speak rightly concerning my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer on their behalf. Then when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his wealth and happiness. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Then all of his brothers, sisters, and former friends arrived and feasted with him in his home, consoling him for all his sorrow and comforting him because of all the trials the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job at the end of his life more than at the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. God also gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. These were the names of his daughters: Jemima, Keziah, Karen. And in all the land there were no other girls as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see his grandchildren and great-grandchildren too. Then at last he died, an old, old man, after living a long, good life. We've been reading from the Living Old Testament, a paraphrase. We've read Job chapters 39 through 42. We have completed the reading of the book of Job. Now here's a special invitation to join us the next time we come your way with the Living Book broadcast.